Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, PayLater, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval and available locations.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, this is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
So I think a good follow-up question to that would be from Craig. Craig had sent in a few more questions that we'll get to, but I'm eagerly awaiting your thoughts on the new revelation. The James Webb Telescope has picked up a large structure moving towards Earth. Arrival date 2033 or 2034. Elizondo was asked about it and said he's aware, but it's not my story to tell. Apparently, it's changing course, directions, and speeds, Dan.
This is an interesting one because we've heard pretty much rumblings of stuff like this since before even the James Webb Telescope was operational, that it had seen aliens. You know, Jimmy Church did it early on and stuff like that. And I stay in these things and I like try and have an open mind. And my initial reaction was, well, the James Webb Space Telescope can't do that. Even if it got a sensor reading, just like the phosphine on Venus, you would have to send more instruments to kind of properly drill down on it. But there are classified missions that the James Webb Space Telescope is carrying out. What they are, no one knows. They're just listed as classified. I once sat and read all of the missions, the telescope time that was given out for it. And some of them you just can't read. And it makes you wonder, you know, you can't aim that telescope at Earth because the sun will burn its sensors out. So what are they looking at? And it could be anything. You know, they could just be tracking Oumuamua back to where it came from or similar objects. On the off chance that there's something interesting like meteors, could be ships. It could be the Eye of Sauron or the all-knowing spaghetti monster. Like, we really don't know. And I think this gap is providing a space for people to speculate and run away with that speculation. I've heard from certain people on Twitter. I can't remember the guy's name now. Pavin, I think it is. I'm really sorry if you're listening to this. Pavel, yeah, maybe. Really sorry if you're listening to this. But maybe it's good because, you know, the trolls won't come for you. But I've heard him kind of say that he has a source that have heard congressional officials talking about this, that they've been briefed on it, so on and so forth. What's interesting in that scenario is that if something was found from classified telescope time, they wouldn't be able to talk about it. They would end up in orange jumpsuits. They couldn't talk about it outside a skiff. And if anyone's repeating that stuff, they're in danger of jail time. And that's that. So the story or the rumors to me don't really make sense. But I'm happy to kind of leave that space there and, you know, watch this space kind of thing and see how it turns out. But something interesting to note is that very often when NASA or the European Space Agency put stuff into the atmosphere or into space, a lot of it is hand-me-downs from the National Reconnaissance Office and the National Security Agency, because they just have stuff that's better. They have more money to play with. NASA has a specific budget, you know? Same for the European Space Agency. They have a specific budget and they have to plan for it and how they're going to spend it for years and justify what they're going to do with it. Whereas someone like the NSA or, you know, the CIA, just unlimited money so they can do what they want when they want. We see rocket launches going up all the time and they're not always taking people to the space station or to, you know, put up Starlink satellites and stuff like that. There's other stuff going on. So there is room for this kind of scenario to be taking place where someone's seen something via the James Webb telescope, they're concerned, and the work is ongoing. But in terms of, you know, it being a confirmed technosignature or something, it doesn't really make sense, nor does it make sense that people will be talking about classified information in unclassified settings. So that's kind of where we are with it. It's really unsatisfying, right?
See, to that last part, and I know you were talking about this on Twitter, I disagree that people don't talk about classified information in unclassified settings, because I think there's enough journalists and documentary makers in the field that would at least allude to knowing stuff that they've probably been told that they shouldn't have been. Even if it's small pieces, I still think that happens. That's just opinion, but... The other thing, to
your side of it, Tom DeLonge was famously accosted by Jim Semivan, right? He took him into a hotel room and was like, how do you know this stuff? Because he put enough of the pieces together to be able to say some stuff that maybe he shouldn't have known. So, yeah, you're right. The spacefarer again.
Yeah. Or maybe he was told something classified, like, you know, like, and just, Tom, for love of God, don't say anything. If you do, we'll just deny it. So, you know, doesn't even matter.
The only thing that makes that dubious to me is that when people go through security clearances, they have lie detector tests. You know, they're put through the paces. And if you're in that position, I guess they have training to beat lie detector tests and things like that. But if you're in that position, you don't want to be someone that has to lie to someone who's had that training and knows what they're looking for, you know? It just it makes it really tough. It's a maybe for me.
Yeah, it must just happen so often, though, that people lie detectors are always spurious anyway, aren't they? Same with sodium pentothal stuff and, you know, do they work? Do they always work? And can these guys and gals just beat it anyway? And I just think that, like we always say, when there's a human element to any of this, people will make mistakes and people will tell people. Mm-hmm. And the whole honeypot thing, you know, like using like hot Russian women as spies to bait people, and it happens in Blue Book, doesn't it, on the Sci-Fi Channel that was sadly canceled before the time. Really interesting. But just on that whole James Webb telescope stuff, agree, Dan, the classified side of things, we won't know everything that it does. Not to say that's from a conspiracy point of view, like you say, but it might just be that they use it for some surveillance of various other pieces of technology that may or may not be up there from adversaries or whatnot, or however else they may use it. It may be really mundane classified reasons, but I would suspect, and I would be incredibly disappointed if the National Security Agencies, CIA, whoever else, don't have stuff far better than the James Webb Telescope already defunct that we will never know about.
You know, they do. And I put money on that.
Yeah, they have stuff up there now that is literally 4K video of stuff so far in the distance that we're still getting pictures of now that takes a long time to render out. Like, I'd be amazed. So it wouldn't make sense to me that the James Webb would discover something that they hadn't already found.
Yes.
And known about for some time. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. But it, like you know, the scenario you touched on earlier where maybe the government wants us to think that they're learning about this the same as we are. If, say, the NSA know about it already, they could just be acting like idiots when it comes to this and kind of going, oh, yeah, that's crazy, right? Yeah. We just don't know.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of, like, if we could get, like, the Enemy of the State movie with Gene Hackman, Will Smith.
Yeah, but that's right. Good movie.
Bring that forward to, like, now and set it in space, you know? Because remember at the time the whole thing was, oh, look at all these satellites they've got and they can literally find you on the streets of Manhattan and, yeah, hiding under a bus shelter. So, yeah, but I'm all for a bit of speculation on finding stuff in space. I just would think they would be so far ahead of that. But then, who knows? Question from Michael. Michael asks, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the previously announced but since gone quiet Scott Andrews memoir that Lou Elizondo tweeted about as well. In fact, Lou may have referenced Scott Andrews in Imminent. I'm not sure. Apologies. In Imminent, Lou refers to a friend who wasn't part of OSAP or ATIP but worked around us often, experienced these symptoms. He was the epitome of an army officer and senior counter-terrorism operator. He is a true American hero. I did not know until much later that he had his own UAP encounter as a boy. He went on to learn about some shocking things that happened in his own childhood tied to his encounter, things he had no memory of. Is this referring to Scott Andrews? Dan, I'm not sure. Like, I can't remember the Scott Andrews memoir thing, to be honest.
So this, I vaguely remembered it. I didn't remember Scott's name, but I remember a big... Well, let me read the headline. So Deadline put out an article saying, Simon & Schuster imprint wins bidding war for twist-filled memoir by US intelligence officer tangled up in mysterious military program. It goes on to say that the log line for the memoir by Scott Andrews takes some time to unpack, but it's a doozy. Shortly after returning from an overseas mission, he began to suffer from a rare life-threatening ailment that defied medical explanation. Rather than succumbing, he instead began to experience special inexplicable abilities such as remote viewing, and his body began to heal, baffling doctors. So this sounds like it's kind of going down the Havana syndrome overlap kind of area between UAP and Havana syndrome. Interesting that his body began to heal. I want to know more. I remember reading it and being excited about it, but just not much has come out. Apparently he was a member of the US Air Force, which famously is kind of shtum on UFO stuff and doesn't really speak about it. But that's all we kind of know. The article goes on to say that when he sought more information about his health, he came across a file that was compiled for him by his late father that contained records from the past he didn't remember, including documents indicating he was removed from school for weeks every year. That's something that we kind of hear often with UFO stuff, right? That there are programs where children with special abilities are kind of taken out and trained. We don't really know more about it, but it's something that comes up in, I guess, the mythos is the word. It comes up in the mythos and just many people's stories over and over again. But we just don't know more. I wanted to read it because most people won't know who Scott Andrews is or what his background was, but it sounds stupidly intriguing.
Yeah, absolutely. Still on the subject of books, Peter asks, what do you think Grush and Stratton's books will reveal over and above Imminent? I'll take that one first. I think Grush will tell a different story because Grush has his own path, his own journey, his own information. Stratton, I suppose, is the one that may conflict with some of what Lou Elizondo's book has said. We don't know yet. All speculation. We touched on this. But I think at least we'll give a fuller picture of the overall OSAP, ATIP journey program, the dealings within that. It might reinforce and confirm a few things we've heard. It might throw some cold water on some things we've heard. and it might muddy the water on some things that we've heard, which is just the UFO topic in a nutshell, I think, to be honest, whenever we get new stuff. Really, honestly, I'm looking forward to both, but I think the Grush book, if indeed that does happen, would be the one that I'm guessing most people would really want to see.
Yeah, I think so as well. Just before I answer this one, I wanted to backtrack. Right at the bottom of the article is buried, and this didn't have the same importance to me back when I read this article, but the memoir is repped by manager and producer Dan Farrah.
Yeah.
Yep. Who has a hand within all of these UFO books and rights and things like that. So yeah, rendered me even more intrigued than I already was, so, I guess.
Before you even answer then, on that, is that an issue?
I can see that it bugs me. Things like this bug me sometimes because it almost feels like a wide open goal, right? That anyone that wants to fooey it by saying, oh, it's the same people coming back again and again and saying these, that's what it looks like. But on the other side of the coin, this guy seems very successful and very able, and he seems like the guy to get things done. So, you know, you could go either way with it. But like you say, it's similar to what you just said, right? There's enough plausible deniability in these things that if you want to, you can cling to your 9-to-5 and ignore this entirely. It's probably not going to have a crazy impact inside most of our immediate lives. Mm. So you can just go back into that safety box if you want to, with the knowledge that there's something out there, and ignore it for the rest of your life if you want to. But at the same time, this stuff just keeps coming, and it's just, you know, avalanches start not with the whole thing moving, but one snowflake, and then the kind of rest follows. The Stratton book is going to be really interesting. I'm really looking forward to that one, specifically because the period after Lou resigned, the period between 2012 and 2017 is kind of void of detail. And we know that the government was studying UFOs during this time. Even the Arrow report kind of has this big gap in that place. But from documents that John Greenwald has found, we know that there was an interagency task force studying UAP during this time. But also, hey, there's nothing to see here, right? It's all phooey. It's all nonsense. So it doesn't make sense to me. And there's some details that I'm kind of chomping at the bit for.
Yeah, I think you've got to be fair and say, and this might sound a bit sitting on the fence again, in 10 years' time, we could be looking back now at all of these books and the documentaries that are going to follow and say that, yeah, it was just a media organisation, Dan Farrah and co. in Hollywood, that signed up some books, got them published, and there was actually no impact. Nothing really came of it except some talking points at the time. That is absolutely a possibility. However, it could be that, do you know what? They were just pieces of that puzzle, and they did launch a conversation, and they did launch a disclosure process. It's one that I suppose we'll just have to come back to in the kind of fullness of time. And it might be the same as, you know, people who maybe look back on, I don't know, as even the Bob Lazar thing. For many, I suppose this would be equally similar, but looking back to when Bob Lazar came out initially and then going, yeah, well, it never came to anything. For some, they would say, you know, Bob was a hoax or a fraud, whatever it may be. That's a different conversation. But maybe folks will look back on this period of time and these people as the same. But then again, maybe it'll be a real launching pad. I don't know. It's something the fullness of time, like I say, we'll kind of find out. Peter followed up, Dan. In imminent and subsequent media rounds, Lou revealed or confirmed new information, such as Roswell being a real event and the fact of two crashes, and of the existence of alien implants. I wonder, however, if Lou and others alongside him are leaving a trail of subtle breadcrumbs in their books and interviews in the hope that some UFO community or someone in the UFO community might follow up. Have you detected any trails you might want to explore? Dan, that's very much one for you, probably, because I'm not a detail person. I look very high level.
Oh, God. I mean, where do we even start? I have about 50,000 different trails. For me, I mean, the trail that I'm kind of on at the moment is looking to the future, what all this means, how it's going to impact us, rather than to the past. And currently, I've been reading War, the new book from Peter Lavender and Tom DeLonge. And just to kind of summarize, there was a really great paragraph at the beginning that kind of summarized why they had done this project over a decade of three books. You know, the first one very much kind of looking at, what was it, God's Man War, mm-hmm. All different aspects. So I'll just read this this paragraph.
Spoilers.
If you, the reader, learn anything from these three books, let it be the realization that A, the phenomena is real, so real it freaks out everyone who has ever come into contact with it. B, that even though you think there is a cabal of magi in the government who know the truth and are withholding it, there isn't, at least not in the way you think. And C, the tension between that need of governments of the world to tell their citizens what is really going on so that everyone can contribute to a solution, and the need to conceal as much of this information as possible to deny other governments the intelligence, is so absolute that we, the people of the world, have already lost the ability to defend ourselves from an alien invasion. So I'm really, this book series kind of brings together all of the, you know, the humanities and the science and philosophy and physics and consciousness and all these kind of different things. It saves you reading. I would still suggest go read the other books, but reading this series will save you reading about 10,000 other UFO books, because it kind of compiles it and is a good base. Consciousness is a big one for me, as well as looking at the definition of life, which is something that science is struggling with. Every different, you know, biology and physics and chemistry and all these different types of science all have different definitions for life. Some of them have definitions where water would seem to be alive by their own definition, which is weird. And it makes it really difficult for us to be able to go to another planet to find something and say whether it's life or not, let alone intelligent life. So that's kind of the thing that's scratching my itch at the moment, I guess.
Cool. So on that, Valis? I always mispronounce this. V-A-L-I-S.
Jack. Oh, Valis. Is it Sam Philip K. Dick?
Maybe, yeah. I'm sure.
Is it all capitalized?
No, not at the minute.
Oh, interesting. That Valis is like a, it's an acronym, VAST, blah, 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 living
system.
Something
told
like
me before exactly how to pronounce it. I totally forgot. I regret nothing as hedonism.
You can choose. Choose your own pronunciation. Go for it. Put some spin on it.
The V-Dog says, my question relates to the above comment, and that was the one from Peter. Since the Pentagon is allowing Lou to discuss and or confirm Roswell, including the crafts and biologics, is this not disclosure? So if I'm going to put my kind of skeptical hat on and take a step back from being a UFO guy, right, the DOPSA review and the Pentagon allowing that isn't proof that Roswell happened. They're just saying that there's nothing in that would give away any national security secrets, because Lou hasn't said anything there that isn't already out in the history books or in movies or TV shows. All he's saying is, from his point of view and his experience, Roswell's real, they've got the material, got craft, etc. That's all been said before. So that's not a national security issue as such. So for me, that doesn't change anything. And that's not a dig from Lou's perspective, just that it's not a confirmation, because that's not how that whole DOPSA review as such works, Dan. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. DOPSA isn't endorsement, you know, it's just saying this is classified, so you can't talk about it. It's sensitive, so you can't talk about it. Is this not disclosure? It will absolutely be disclosure for some to hear Lou saying that.
Yeah,
they'll be running around the street yelling, I told you so, I told you so. But for other people, it won't be. So it's still choose your own adventure, you know?
Absolutely. Totally agree. Fred says, hot sports opinion. The eminent domain clause pushed by Congress is not necessary, and apparently a major sticking point, which begs the question, why the hell Congress is so damn concerned about it now? The major point on the amendment is to force disclosure of said assets. If and when that happens, which is highly unlikely, then you can introduce eminent domain, which would certainly get approved in a nanosecond given the very likely population uproar. It's simply a bridge too far at the moment. You can cross that bridge if and when you get to it. But for some reason, Congress is asking more than what's necessary, as if they need a reason for the amendment not to pass. Discuss amongst yourselves, gents. There's a follow-up there. Also, JAG and The Hive asked very similar questions on the NDAA, on eminent domain. Dan, on the eminent domain stuff, though, as something that came up pretty recently, I think it was Dean Johnson commented that eminent domain's actually in the Constitution or whatever it is. So, or what, that actually doesn't need to be in there because the US government has eminent domain anyway. So there isn't anything stopping them going in now to Lockheed Martin and saying, we're taking all your stuff.
Yeah, this talking about this kind of makes me feel a bit like, you know, when someone finds an exploit of a gambling website or something, and then they go on Twitter and blab about it, and then they patch the code and no one else can use it. I feel like I'm going to be doing this by talking about this, but eminent domain isn't necessary. You're right. We don't really know that they're concerned with it. We've heard a number of places say, we could lose it. It's not that important. Ultimately, we'll see when they get to conference, which is the end of the process, whether they keep it in or not. But for me, if people are arguing over eminent domain, they're not arguing over the review board. And the review board is the much more important aspect of this. And I just hope that no one's listening to this that kind of goes, aha, finally. Like, you know, that's the way I should pay attention to. The review board is something that, when we talk about the kinds of announcements that they could make that people would believe, you know, the president rocking up and saying, we are not alone, and what follows that up, it would be people from religion, people from, you know, historians, physicists, biologists, all these different kind of places and organizations that would come together and have this conversation. The review board is basically a lineup of that. We don't know who it would be. Those people haven't been chosen yet. But they would be 9 or so people that, between them, if they felt that the threshold for disclosure had been reached, it would be pretty hard to argue against them, because they all come from different backgrounds and, you know, look at different facets of the world. So for me, review board is more important. Eminent domain we could lose. But I really don't want to lose that review board. If that's the only thing that gets through this year, I'll be a very happy camper.
The follow-up question from Fred was, one additional question. Is Luis Elizondo the most overly exposed person in media right now? Not a bad thing necessarily, but shooting stars have a very short lifespan. I mean, he's exposed and is very much, in my news cycle that I see, after Taylor Swift and Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, then I think Lou on my newsfeed is pretty much up there. I don't think, like you say, it's a bad thing. And this might be, because I kind of asked Lou, and he wasn't sure, this might be Lou shooting his shot. Like, this is everything I've got that I can do and say. I maybe don't, he maybe doesn't have much more than this to give and to offer. And you would appreciate that, given how much he's done or said. So maybe there's his book. Let's get everything out now. I mean, and also he will have a contract to do media tour and media appearances, just as part of what he's doing. But I've got no issue with it. And like we've discussed at length before about it, promoting the subject. Dan, anything to add?
I mean, until I see Lou's face on the front of the BBC, he hasn't been exposed in the media enough. But I understand why some people, after, you know, it's almost exhausting. It feels like every single day there's another 2-hour or 3-hour interview with Lou. And I can understand why someone would be like, if he was any more exposed, he'd be arrested for indecency. Lou's visibility inspires other people to step up. And I think he's shooting his shot to kind of do that, to say, look, you can get into the limelight and you're not going to be ridiculed. You're not going to be laughed at. So let's get this rolling. And I think The Daily Show was a really good show of that. Not too long ago, Sarah Gamm from the UAP Task Force.
You read my mind.
Hey. Entangled, see? She went on to The Good Trouble Show, and Matt Ford did a great interview with her. It's the first time she came out, and she finally felt confident enough to come out. She will be featured in James Fox's film, but that's a ways away. But she literally said in the interview that she felt she could step forward, because of the reaction to Lou's book. And she touched on imminence and really kind of plugged it and said that the reception, people's reception to all of that has made her want to step forward. And she was. She also said that by the time she left, the kind of the UAP task force basically had like a server on a secure network that they would talk to each other on. It was like a working group. When she started talking in there, there were, you know, maybe 10, 20 people. By the time she left, there were 2,000 people helping with those cases. 2,000. That is 2,000 potential people that could come forward with their own nuggets of information on this subject. That's really important, I think. And just like with David Grush, we saw the pushback against him, but he still stood there and said that he has no doubt that, you know, these things are not from here. Sarah said the same thing. She has no doubt that some of these things were not of human origin. She wasn't willing to go further. There were a few things that she kind of said, wait, do you want me to touch on like a couple of the points?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can do, yeah.
So she mentioned the jellyfish UAP.
Yep.
That was released by Corbell and Knapp, kind of famously. Apparently they debunked that. She mentioned that was kind of a solution to that was some Aquarius form of life. Aquarius, not as in the star sign, but she was talking about birds and water life. So like aqua related, like that kind of stuff.
I don't understand that though. If that was something that was in the air, because it was in the air, I don't get what she was getting at by that. So can you explain that to me?
What do you mean in
that? That sounds a bit ridiculous or exotic in itself, that it's some kind of life. So what was it?
I mean, I would love to drill down on that, but without talking to Sarah, I have no more details to give. All she said was she kind of shifted awkwardly after talking about how crazy some forms of life like birds can look on these cameras because they don't work like normal cameras. And then she said that they eventually found out that that was an Aquarius form of life. It's vague, and it's kind of like the word biologics, right? It's just like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
I'll tell you what, if Sean Kirkpatrick said that, people would be slating him.
Yep.
So I don't think that's a good enough explanation either way, because that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it leaves it really vague, and I would have loved to see some more follow-up there.
Yeah, if Mick West said that, people would be slating him for sounding ridiculous. That's not a dig at Sarah, but that statement isn't great.
For me, it came across like there was something she couldn't say about it. I don't know, maybe the censor system and the way they review some things is important to not talk about, but there were a couple of red lines that she got close to during the interview that she kind of threw her hands up and said she can't talk. And towards the end of the interview, she got a little more relaxed talking about these things. And this is kind of when it happened. So yeah, I don't know. I would have loved to see more follow-up. I would love to talk to her and kind of just be like, what do you mean? Is it birds? Is it, I don't know, birds carrying a big bag of fish? I really don't know. But it didn't convince me, you know, but she seemed convinced that they debunked it. So I want to know what it is. Yeah. She highlighted another case of something that looked like a brain that they couldn't figure out that had, when Matt asked her about whether it exhibited the five observables, she explained that it kind of stopped on a dime and then moved at speed. So we're talking, you know, at least two of the observables there. Would love to know more about that. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's one that maybe we could see released in the future. I don't know. There were a few that she said were taken on sensor systems that kind of, it was that whole thing around, well, you know, the Eiffel Tower's in the background and we don't want France to know that we're filming the Eiffel Tower. So we couldn't, we couldn't release that one. And she said it wasn't the Eiffel Tower, but it was just something, you know, obvious that she wouldn't want to let out. There was a really interesting slip up, and this was the bigger one for me. You know, Sarah was completely convinced that we are not alone, that there were other stuff out there, but she kind of was thinking at one point, and she said that the UK has a really good database and system for UAP encounters. And that got my kind of, you know, flags up, because the UK doesn't admit that they have a good system for UAP encounters. As far as we know, the last thing the UK produced was the Condyne report. And that was just, you know, it's good. There are a series of sightings. A lot is redacted from it. They recently said that they lost the original copy that was unredacted, and David Clark knew the guy who wrote it that had a copy, so they're able to retrieve that and keep that on file in the public interest. And that's kind of the end of it. Well, that was like a decade or two ago now. So it was surprising to me to hear that the UK has a really good database and system, and I don't think she was meant to say that. She also said that Canada had been tracking UAP too. So at that point, I went to Twitter and I was like, Chris Sharp, Daniel Otis, you know, Canadian and UK journalists there. I hope you're on this. And they are. They put in FOIA requests, and we're going to see where that goes. It was a really interesting conversation. Highlighted that, you know, there are humans that are involved in these things. They and what I mean by that is that they'll make mistakes. There are flaws. But they work together with people that have a lot of expertise. And she said, you know, initially everyone would laugh and mock them kind of on the server, and there were a few dissenters and stuff. But by the time she left, everyone was just excited about the possibility and was seriously talking about analyzing the data and things like that. So, yeah, I thought it was an awesome interview, and I'd recommend everybody go watch that. Oh, one more thing as well. There was, she had access to space UAP videos. And she said those were kind of sourced a lot from YouTube. So if you have a favorite UFO video in space on YouTube, they were looking at those probably. But also she said that they never found any UAP in them, and said that most of what they looked at were bolides, which is just essentially a meteor coming to Earth and then exploding. I feel like I'm reading your mind on the one that you're thinking about right now, which is the one where it kind of tracks in and then turns and goes away.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look, you know, there's a flash, which you could say is an explosion or something, but the object doesn't decrease in size or split into multiple parts. It just jutters
moves
away.
Moves off at a different angle. Yeah.
Yeah, totally different angle. One of the old timers, I would say, of UAP space videos. Again, I would have loved a little more follow-up on that, because that's quite the statement to make. But Sarah was very forthcoming.
Yeah, she was. And would you not also be wary, though, of coming to a conclusion based on a YouTube video rather than having the original data?
Yes.
And the original video?
Yes, like that. Absolutely. And that, this came up a lot.
Was done.
Yeah, we spoke about this when the NASA panel was looking at stuff, and they said, you know, you'd have to publicly source stuff. They would be looking at YouTube videos as well, because they would be looking at publicly sourced stuff. And yeah, unless they go back into the archives and they have access to exactly what was going on, they're probably better off just saying, you know what, we don't have the data. We don't know. Doesn't mean it is aliens. Doesn't mean it's not aliens. Literally, it's useless as a piece of evidence that we can use to prove life elsewhere. Yeah. You know, just say, I don't know. It's okay. The three magic words.
My only thing to add to that is, I think it's a good example of when I said before, what people think whistleblowers or people coming forward should look like and should sound like won't always adhere to your narrative or your idea of that type of person or that type of kind of that type of coming forward. I know we said before, and this isn't detrimental to Jason Sands, but for every David Grush, there's a Jason Sands, and the way those stories were presented kind of went two different ways. And I've seen a lot of commentary online around Sarah's confidence talking, around what she was saying, how she said it, as we've discussed, but also even the background she had. So,
oh, the cat and the UFO.
Yeah, I've seen a few comments from
it's
about
cool
that.
Picture. Oh, puzzle, sorry, it was a puzzle, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I think people should just, my advice or hope would just be, kind of take these things at face value and don't worry too much about it's not what you thought it would look like, because that doesn't mean it's not genuine, but also still be skeptical and everything else with these things, as you should do with anyone, to be honest.
Oh, two more points. Sorry, I have so many notes that I'm just looking over. So one of the intriguing things, she said that basically when Arrow was stood up, they didn't want the data, any of the data that they'd been studying. So even the cases that they debunked, Arrow just wasn't interested in them. And she kind of paints a picture of just Arrow being a little disingenuous with the cases that they wanted to study. And she literally said at one point that the stuff that Kirkpatrick was saying was not accurate. You know, that's almost a quote right there. Just not accurate. The other thing is that she said that the COVID shutdown kind of impacted their work massively. And when they came back, she was really excited to be part of an experiment they were kind of getting ready to do. And that was completely shut down by Arrow. And I wonder maybe if there was some crossover with Interloper, which was the UAP baiting experiment that Lou Elizondo spoke about in his book. Again, we would have to follow up and maybe she can't talk about it at all, but we'd be really interested to hear it, right?
Absolutely. We're marching towards the end of this one, folks. Awakening to Reality says, are y'all, God almighty, that's y'all. They've actually written y'all, but try to say
are
that.
Y'all?
Are y'all across the Eric Mitchell story? Dr. Michael Masters just went into it again on the Danny Jones podcast. Now, I hadn't seen that. Dan, what is the Eric Mitchell story? Do you know?
Ed Mitchell, maybe?
Well, that's what I was thinking, the astronaut.
Hold on.
But they've written down Eric Mitchell. Is there something? I'm
going to look it up.
Let's call this the one edit, okay? Because
Edgar Mitchell, there is.
Edgar Mitchell, yeah.
No, wait, there is an Eric Mitchell. I mean, it's clear that we don't know about this, so maybe we should just skip the question.
You've literally just done a whole thing about, you know, it's okay to say I don't know. I mean, you're
I don't know. Yeah.
I can find it.
With a real quick cursory search, is he did an episode on the UFO Garage podcast called The Antenna and the Experiences. So,
sorry, are we recording again here, or are you talking to me?
I guess I'm talking to you, but with my recording voice.
Ah, okay. I was like, okay, sorry, I was the back one. Right. Do you want me to leave that question out?
Yeah. We don't have anything to add. It's just, hey, watch us use computers for a second.
It would just be saying, I don't know.
Maybe leave it in for the paying YouTube subscribers and Patreon.
Yeah, give me less to do
this process stuff.
Yeah, if you pay for it, it's me and Dan going, no, don't know what that is. Totally surmising. And Awakening to Reality, if you've watched that, I've not got a chance. There's, like Dan said, there has been so much content recently that I literally can't get near even half of it, I don't think, at the minute. So it's been pretty difficult to keep up. But I'd be actually quite appreciative if you could send me the link to a time code for that, and we can follow up on that next time.
Yeah,
that'd be great. As with anything we fuck up or don't know about on this, please send over a time code, or here's the actual facts of stuff we got wrong. That'd be great. Dan, you'll love this question. Alexis, how do you relate the rest of the phenomena in light of what Patrick Jackson brings to the table with his Type 1, 2, and 3 spheres story or theory? He was on Quantum Paranormal Today. Dan? Patrick Jackson?
So...
the spheres guy?
I mean, it's an idea, right? I spoke to Patrick. I asked him for his paper because he said he had a paper on this. It was a single A4 page. Yeah. It was a single A4 page that pretty much just, it was a very kind of surface level glance at this, his ideas. And his idea is that there are a lot of UFO photos where the UFOs seem to have a number of spheres around them, very often three. And his idea is kind of that they're a planetary defense system, that they're protecting us. I mean, one, they're not doing a great job. Not many people see UFOs getting blown up in the sky and things like that.
Because they're doing such a good job.
Maybe. But there are photos of them, right? And you would expect to see a UFO being blown up if the photographer was kind of seeing these things. Two, it's kind of like that for me is something that directly fed into the MH370 stuff that I'm not going to go into. That's what it traded on. Please, that wasn't what the video looked like. And three, Patrick has a book. And pretty much most of the photos that are in that book to prove his case are hoax photos if you look on the internet. So I really don't put much stock in the theory, but also I can't say that it's nonsense because I don't have an answer for it, so I guess it's on the table. That's about all I have to say on that.
I have no thoughts or opinions either way.
Point four, actually, just to add, when a number of people asked for more information from him, He invited them to stay in his friend's haunted house at $500 a pop in England. And when people said, well, I'm happy to go there and I'll vouch for you if it's real, he wanted money still. So apparently the most haunted place in the UK, and you can't be used to prove hauntings. Not to say the hauntings aren't real, totally up for it, but yeah, just a little dubious. A little.
Easter Islands. Who do you think was ultimately responsible for the gutting of the first UAP Disclosure Act, the Mikes versus Lloyd Austin? And are you confident the 2.0 has the blessing of the upper echelons of the current executive branch? First time round, I know, Dan, I've seen you comment on these various times online. I don't think it was just one set of dissenters that got rid of that, and you probably will never hear the true story of this kind of stuff. And just to answer the second part myself before I hand over to you, Dan, am I confident that 2.0 has the blessing? It seems to have more support, but I am genuinely not confident that it's going to pass. And that's not from hearing anything from anyone. I just don't see why the same thing going through again would pass. I don't think it will.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same page. You know, we've heard from Douglas Dean Johnson and from Kirkpatrick himself. He said that the Pentagon got killed it. Douglas Dean Johnson shared the document of the Pentagon, just put in lines through everything saying this is duplicating our efforts. So in that case, we have hard evidence for them getting it kind of thrown out. But we've also heard time and time again that various senators and officials have kind of put their hands in the mix at the behest of certain defense contractors like Lockheed and so on and so forth to kind of make this go away. Whether it's true, I don't know. They were confronted or asked, not confronted. Matt Laszlo doesn't confront people. He asks them very kindly. You can hear his audio.
He confronts them kindly. He's a very
confronts them kindly. I'll go with that.
He's an efficient journalist. Yeah.
Tenacious, that one.
Yeah, tenacious. That's the one. Yeah.
He asked one of the mics if they were responsible, and he got the answer that they didn't know what he was talking about, which is what they would say if they were responsible. But there's no hard evidence to show that they did. Apparently, FOIA hasn't brought up any emails between defense contractors and these officials. But who knows what goes on behind closed doors, right? Also, I'm not confident it does have the blessing. We've heard it as the blessing of the White House. Until I hear the White House vouch for it publicly, it doesn't have the blessing of the White House, you know? And unless they're willing to go to bat for it, they're not really invested, I would say.
Yeah. Final question, Dan, from James. I need a tridactyl mummy believability update from the duo. The evidence is stacking up. One of the mummies has been released to the Peruvian Ministry of Culture for further verification. So this was just recently, Dan. Was it one of or a couple of the bodies were confiscated, shall we say, by the government back again? I can't remember if I said to you, Dan, in a group or if this was on Twitter or whatever. It's not private. I think this doesn't play well either way, because surely by them now taking the bodies, or some of them, if they return them and this turns out to be nonsense, then they'll say they weren't the original bodies that were taken.
They did return them.
Oh, so have they actually even done that? Okay.
Yeah, they've been brought back.
How do we know they're the same bodies? And I'm just like conspiracy theory here. So that could be something levied against it. Have they taken the bodies and tampered with them? Have they taken the bodies and they'll be able to totally debunk it because of tests they've done? I don't think it added to it in a positive way. So believability-wise, I still stand by. I think there are aspects of this story that there's an intrigue to. Not all of it. But I think there's enough to say there are elements of the story that I find very interesting. I really think the big thing, and again, isn't this just the UFO topic in a nutshell, Dan? I think I said that already before, but I'm using that again because I'm tired. if we could just find out the location of the cave, which apparently is kind of known, and they could just go and show us all these bodies in this cave, that would probably help. But yeah, that's as far as I'm kind of at with it at the minute. It's still kind of on my radar, but low-key on my radar.
Yeah, I would say the same. I'm curious about it, but I'm not hanging my hat on it. I'm not screaming in the streets about it. But when people bring it up with me, I'm not just saying, eh, it's not real. Don't worry about it. They're not llama skulls. The Ministry of Culture taking them to scan them is a good thing. But like you said, what did they bring back? They brought back something. It would be, I guess, nice to hear from the scientists that they were the same thing, that, you know, nothing was tampered with. That could go a long way to kind of quashing a bunch of conspiracy theory kind of gaps, saying the government are trying to, you know, ruin this for us. Maybe they're not, you know. I've always said that I think if they were presented properly in the first place, we'd be having a different conversation now. They had no business being at a UFO hearing, and I'm basing that statement on the work of the scientists who didn't say they were extraterrestrial, who didn't say they weren't of this earth. They just said that they were genuine things that needed study. I would agree with that. I believe there's work to be done. But right now, we're in that choose your own adventure space again. And you'll hear people get really emotional arguing that this is evidence of non-human intelligence. It's evidence of non-human intelligence in as much as Homo naledi was evidence of non-human intelligence, for example. It's an anthropological find, and those experts should be taken, like you said, to the cave to do their work properly on an archaeological dig. And I'm sure there are a lot of them out there who, given the opportunity and the right funding, they'd be more than happy to go and kind of look at this. Because if it is even remotely a genuine and new find, there are accolades in that.
Yeah.
And it's possible that Jaime Maswan shot the whole thing in the foot by presenting it how he did at the hearing. So yeah, I remain intrigued, but god damn, is this a clusterfuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything to add, Dan, in terms of news? Have we missed anything off? I mean, we've missed loads off, but in terms of
I think we hit most of the, we hit most of things. Upcoming hearings, I think we touched on that in the last breakdown.
And the only thing would be, we're now on the 19th of September. Are we still going to get a hearing in September?
Is that, I thought that was rhetorical.
No, I'm asking you. Like, it's now like 2/3 of the way through the month. And
yeah, I mean, we heard it was on the calendar, right? For the end of September, I think Gillibrand said. So yeah, the clock is ticking. Let's get that moving.
Yeah, it'd be nice to hear a little bit more about it to just remind us that it's definitely going to happen, definitely going to be there. There's meant to be a follow-up, is it a House Senate hearing? Something like that, House Intel Committee hearing in November. That one, again, I'm not wary of it. That's probably the wrong phrasing, but just the elections are November, aren't they?
Yeah,
they are. So that is just going to take over everything in the news cycle. And I suppose I saw Donald Trump made some comments again on with Kat Timpf, I believe her name was. Don't know who that is, news host or just a panelist or something, just about the whole alien question. It got a big round of applause from the audience.
Oh, that's right.
A few people asked me about it. He said what he said before. You know, he's not a believer, but he has spoken to pilots who
pilots
have
in
seen,
his office. That was it.
Seen some incredible things and stuff. It's nothing he's not said before. I at least appreciate he does say, I'm not a believer, but, you know, and then Ing goes on to follow that up. And I don't think it's an unfair statement to make. I've not seen Kamala Harris comment much on it. I don't think either candidate wants to talk about the UAP UFO topic, to be honest.
No. And I mean, maybe if these hearings happen really close to election, then
they might get asked. Yeah.
But it's not, neither candidate wants it to be an election issue for them right now.
Yeah, they're throwing enough shit at the walls of this election at each other without the social. Do you know what's crazy? The viral marketing and the budgets that must go into the videos going online from both campaigns slandering the other must be incredible. Like, that must dwarf OSAP's budget of $22 million on its own.
100%, right? If these people really wanted to run a PSYOP and make money, they'd be running for president.
Are you making a point there, Dan? I'm not sure, but yeah, potentially.
It's a joke.
Yeah. But listen, thank you, Dan, very much for your time. Appreciated. thank you everyone who sent over questions. I was going to format a much nicer show here and make it easier for Dan, but we've just went with literally going through everyone's questions, and I think that's touched on everything, like you say anyway, Dan. Yeah, we've not really missed much off. If there is anything that's been missed off or you want it followed up on, send us it over via email and I'll get it into something for the end of the month or the next breakdown. I would like to think if there's not a breakdown next week, there's at least going to be one the week after, talking about the hearings, Dan, because that would then take in October potentially. So yeah, that would be nice, and any other news that happens. But thank you very much, folks. Been a pleasure, and speak to you all very, very soon. That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show out on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify. Just search That UFO Podcast Premium. YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoked a little rat. Meditative game of state full on meta. Can't imagine how it could have been any better. I got to the top of the stairs and there he was. Like, you awake? I was about to abduct you, cuz. I jumped back and nearly kissed myself. Then I climbed out the window after the elf. And I woke up in my bed and there was something on my head. And everything was weird and everything was red. And I called up my boys. They thought this was noise. They thought it was a dream. They thought it was my toys. They thought it was my problems. And they think I should scare me. And I don't know what to do because it doesn't really scare me. If you really want to know who I think I'd be, then it's you and me, and us and we, and him and her, and that and she, and that thing over there, and what's that, Jake? If you're being serious, open your mind, consider your heart, consider time, consider your space, consider your lies, consider your life, consider your eyes. We'll be right back.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.